You're listening to Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. I'm Jonna Spilbore.
I'm Carol Pesci.
And this is the podcast version of our award-winning radio show.
That's right.
Now you can listen to our radio show whenever you want on your time.
It's Happy Hour. What is Happy Hour?
It's a 60 minutes
or so
where you have a happy beginning, middle, and ending.
People expect from this show?
Number one, they should expect to get some really good stuff because we have
stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Meaning content.
Yeah.
Smart guests.
Yep.
Make your life better.
And we make you laugh.
Laugh a little. Because that's about it.
You only go around once.
Yeah.
You gotta have a little fun.
All right. Listen up.
Good morning once again here on K104.2 Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. I'm Frankenberry. We are back for another Sunday morning. And ladies, how are we doing today?
Well, ask Jonna about her hair and nails.
Besides stepping all over each other, how are we doing today?
I'm good. Well, happy Easter.
And, yes, happy Easter.
I'm curious about how Jonna's hair, home hair dye job came out.
Oh, did you actually do the home hair dye thing, Jonna?
Well, Frank and Barry, we have reached a point in this lockdown situation where, you know, I'm sure there are many women within the sound of my voice who also did not get to plan ahead when the world went on lockdown and probably were ready to have their roots colored at that moment and thought, well, all right, we can get through 15 days. Who's going to be the wiser? And now 15 days is turning into 45, and some of us have had to employ desperate measures. I am among them.
So what, you've broken out a Sharpie?
Oh, no. Sharpie was last week. Frankenberry, give me a break.
Sorry, I'm not staying up on things. My bad.
Did it come out okay?
All right. Well, I will say this. It came out better than a time when I actually had my hair colored in a pinch at a place that I was unfamiliar with, a professional place, who ended up plying me with vodka in a dirty glass, and my hair came out blorange, as you know.
I remember blorange.
Right. That's blonde and orange, as if they had a baby. That is blorange. It did come out better than that, but I got to tell you something. You know, when we take it for granted, we women. So, Frankenberry, you're not... Can you guys hear that?
I heard something.
Okay, sorry. Big siren. So, okay. We take it for granted, we women, that are fortunate enough to be able to sachet our butts into a hair salon every 3, 4, 5 weeks and have somebody who knows what they're doing mush their fingers in our hair and make it look lovely. I was, you know, in my mother's bathroom with my mother's bottled hair color, trying to put it on my hair and channeling my inner Robert, who is the person who does my hair expertly, and I love him, and I can't wait to kiss his old damn face. And it just was not as easy as it looks. So I did my best.
I wish I could have been there.
Yeah. It was painful. It was really painful, but it needed to be done. And then I moved on. The next day I moved on to, you know, another problem that we women are having is that when you get your nails professionally done and you don't use regular nail polish, it's a process getting that stuff off. And so I had to chisel some very hard powder polish off my nails. I lost most of my nails in that process, and then I painted over them with nail polish that I dug out from, you know, an old drawer. And here we are, you know, week four. This
is what we have to do. Black glitter. Black glitter polish.
But I think what's happening right now, tell me if this is happening with you too as well. Like, I know it hasn't been that long, and I am not minimizing the work that our healthcare professionals and our drivers and our supply chain people, I am not minimizing that. I am just trying to have a little levity in our world because of what's going on in the world. But gotcha. I gotta say, you want me in your foxhole. I am your bunker girl. Forget the fact that years ago, the first and only time I went camping, I tried to bring a hair dryer. Forget that for a minute. Because right now, like, I am willing to, I will help you do your hair. I will give you recommendations on good color. I will give you recommendations on beauty tips to employ where we're locked in. I'm that person. You want me in your corner if I'm going to pat myself on the back and be part of this process. Just saying.
Just saying.
Well,
because of course, since you live alone, it's quite important that your nails and your hair look good right now.
Yeah, which is the point I tried to make last week, but then Jonna was like, "Oh, what am I supposed to do for my Facebook videos?"
Oh, right.
This is true.
So she's been wearing hats, blow up crowns. Where'd you get the crown?
Well, isn't that funny that this is so me. I'm like, I had this blow up crown from somebody practically joked me like years ago. And I almost threw out that blow up crown like a while back, and I said, "You know what? Someday I'm going to need this."
Your video, you've been cracking me up. So funny on Facebook. Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, thank you. It's therapy for me, cuz I get to let out what's on my mind. And hopefully make people, I'm doing it to make people laugh. I realize, you know, they are not Jonna Spielborg attorney at law type videos, but I'm trying to make people laugh. So hopefully that's working.
Well, you've made me laugh a few times already.
Yeah, I saw.
And what about your hair?
What about my hair? So I'm the great predictor, okay, in this whole thing. I did not predict the toilet paper issue. Still don't understand it, but I was stocked anyway. I'm good there. I did stock up on food because, in the beginning, not sure if the supply chain was going to continue. And the good news is that the shelves are being restocked. Thank you to all of our essential workers and the grocery stores, healthcare workers, of course, and anybody else that is keeping our lives going right now. Thank you. Like, that should be the main point. Anyway, so food, good. I also stocked up on root touch-up early in this whole thing. I predicted that would be the next thing to sell out after toilet paper was root touch-up. So I have a couple of containers ready to go. I'm getting there. I'm getting close to having to do it. And yeah, don't be jealous.
You're a bunker girl too, right? I want you in my bunker. You want me in your bunker. You know, when we get
because we might starve, but we'll look great.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the most important thing, isn't it, Frankenberry?
Oh yeah. Well, you guys know me. Looking great is my that's top of the line for me. I mean, that's number one priority.
Yeah, and we've seen you, Frankenberry. I know you cut your own hair. I'm not sure of all the time, but sometimes. And
no, I've been cutting my own hair for probably about a year now. So, and
I
actually
remember you showing us a little mishap on the back of your head once.
Yeah. Well, it took some practice. The very first time I did it, the back of my head looked like the skyline of Manhattan. You know, now I've gotten much better at it. You have to take some time with it. And I'm not going to really explain the process. Let's just say that I can see myself in the mirror across my bathroom as I stand in the shower, without the shower on, by the way. I just want a place for the hair to fall so I can sweep it
up.
But I do that, what's the best way to put it, delicately? I do that nude. And you know, so it's not a situation that anybody really wants to imagine or envision, but eventually I do get my hair.
Right now. You've already brought us there, Frankenberry. What time is it? 7:15 in the morning on a Sunday? Thank you.
All right, my bad. But anyway, you know, eventually what I'm able to look at, I'm able to look in the mirror and say, I'm finished now. I can sweep this up. I can take a quick shower. And I've also not spent $20 to say, hey, Manny, can you do to my hair what I'm going to do to myself at home? For nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, I could cut my own hair if I wanted to. I could change my underwear sometime in the 4 days that I'm home for a weekend if it's a long one. It depends.
Oh,
depends on the mood.
Why bother? Mm. Yeah, I'm weird that way. I gotta, in order to feel good, I kind of have to think that I look good. I'm not saying that I look good, but, you know, like, I gotta be coiffed and showered and somehow get this nail polish off my actual fingers, and so it's only on my fingernails.
But it sounds to me as if, from what Carol was just saying and from what you were saying earlier, that the two of you need to combine your foxholes, your bunkers, because Carol's got the food, and she's got the hair dye. You have the sense of urgency and style to get the hair done.
Right.
You put those two things together, and boom, you guys are a pair. You're a couple.
We're a team.
Exactly.
We're a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've said this before, Frank and Barry. You put Jonna and me together, we really make the perfect woman.
I can see that.
Right? We've talked about this.
Yes, we have talked about that.
Yeah, I know, because too bad nobody
can
be perfect.
So how lucky are you, Frank and Barry?
What's that, Carol?
I said, so how lucky are you?
I'm right between the two halves of a perfect woman. Nice. Good
there
for me.
Go.
And I haven't even tried.
Well, how is everybody doing? Because I learned another skill during this lockdown thus far. How is everybody doing keeping their homes nice and tidy and clean and free from germs?
I love that this is a new thing for you.
Totally.
You're only living in your own germs, Jonna. I mean, what do you have to clean other than doing a little bit of dusting and maybe some vacuuming?
Yeah, no pets, no children.
I've discovered that I am a little bit of a slob. And I went so far, that I'm like embarrassed to admit this, but I'm going to admit this to just us. I tried to sneakily entice my housekeeper to break the whole, you know, quarantine and come on over and clean my house.
She really
did not take the bit. I did. I was like, but I didn't do it. I was more like, you know, Pepe Le Pew when he was trying to entice the female skunk and he would, you know, I don't know, like he'd make a nice smell of dinner wafted over so she'd be interested, you know?
Yeah.
So instead of just coming right out, so I texted her. Well, first I meant this. I texted her and I'm like, I really miss you. I hope everybody's doing good. And I meant that. And then when she was texting me back, I was like, oh, you know, it's going to be really hard for you to clean this place if you can't come back here for a while. So maybe you could. And she's like, yeah, no. I'm like, okay.
Smart girl.
Oh, you baited her, too. You baited her to get her to respond. Who hasn't done that? I've had that done to me, too.
And then I went in for the kill. First, you got to butter up. Then you go in for the kill. But my kill didn't work.
What was the kill when you told her that the only interaction you've had was with a raccoon who's wearing a mask, so you're safe?
No, my kill was... It's going to be really hard for you if you wait any longer.
So what is the new skill you've learned?
I learned how to mop.
What the hell was that?
Mop.
M-O-P.
Oh, mop.
With an A in the beginning.
Oh,
because
I got
an A before the word. Right. She makes it a little more dramatic.
Exactly.
She'll add an A before the word for impact.
I turned it into two syllables. A mop.
Which is something, by the way, that I should learn to do because I do live with three cats and cats are prone to puking. So I could probably use breaking out a mop. I just don't own one.
Thank you for the second time in 15 minutes, Frank and Barry.
It's what I'm here for.
FYI, I had to buy one, Frank and Barry. I bought a steam mop online.
Oh, did you?
It showed up. Yeah.
See, that's
either.
That's the thing right now. It's, I mean, I would order some stuff online, but you know, I'm not a rich guy. So that's when you start prioritizing. Mop.
Well,
not on the top of the list right now.
Right.
I hear you.
Dinner.
Exactly. Cat food. Top of the list.
Beer.
Yep.
You need beer.
Oh yeah, gotta have curbside pickup.
What's your beer again, Frankie Berry? What beer do you like?
Oh, I love Busch Light. Very simple, very cheap.
Interesting.
They still make that?
Oh, yeah. Believe me, they still make it. I know. I should own stock.
So what other issues are you guys discovering during this very strange, unprecedented lockdown period? Anything else new that you're learning about yourselves, about others?
You guys know. I mean, well, first of all, my life is still kind of regular a little bit. I mean, I'm still getting up. I mean, I'm only doing like a half day. And my boss, the other production guy, we kind of, you know, passed the baton around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But I'm still coming in at 11 every day. I'm just doing my best to not make any stops along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, just to get in the car, come straight to work, go upstairs, get back in the car, go straight home. If I have to make a stop, I'll do my best to find a place that's got a curbside. I actually did brave the grocery store on Saturday. But for a lot of this, when it comes to the weekends and staying in on the weekends, that's kind of my gig anyway.
Right.
You know,
yeah, me
so.
Too. I work from home, so I'm accustomed to being here most of the time. So that part hasn't changed a whole lot for me, thankfully. I'm in relatively good shape, all things considered, of how this has impacted people. I do find that I got to really plan my meals out better because I really don't want to go to the grocery store very often.
Exactly. So, exactly. And the one thing that's
really
come out of it.
Think it through.
Yeah, I've written a little bit more. Over the last 3 weeks.
That's good.
I've taken my Friday and Saturday to really, you know, bang out and try to get a brand new post every week. And, you know, that makes me happy. So, but yeah, I mean, other than the, you know, the anxiety of when I do go out, you know, things are kind of the same.
Well,
that's good.
My life is completely upside down. I don't know if I'm ever going to be right again.
Well, you're funny the person that eats out all the time, and you're the person that's, you know, you go to an office full of people, you know, your business.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah, things have really changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, seriously, things have totally changed. One of the things I got a kick out of is my mother has a new best friend, a new texting buddy. Her new texting buddy is her Instacart delivery girl. They're tight now. Like, my mother, I was over there the other day, and all of us are feeling good. She had an Instacart delivery that was going to come, and all of a sudden her phone starts, you know, beeping, and she's like, oh, that's my Instacart, and she's having, like, a conversation with her. Oh, I hope she doesn't have to return this kind of spaghetti, because I really wanted this kind of spaghetti, and then you see her texting away. I'm like, Mom, she's not your new BFF. The woman has a job to do. Let her do it.
Crying out loud.
But that's another thing that's hard. Like, so the grocery delivery, which is right up my alley, because you guys know I don't go grocery shopping anyway.
Yep.
But now if you place an order for delivery, they literally get back to you and they're like, yeah, we have no idea when we're going to show up.
Wow.
Yep, they do. So, like, I placed an order and they're like, yeah, it could be 4 to 9 days. Oh, it's going to be August. I'm going to get a knock on the door. Like, your Instacart's here. I'm like, but I ordered that in March. You'll see.
Yeah, that's one thing that me on my end, I can't consider having groceries delivered. So I like I said, I braved the store on Saturday, and I had a 10-minute window in my head, and I pretty much kept to it. I think it only took me 12 minutes to get what I needed to get, and I was a flash out the door.
And I'll be checking on you, Frankenberry, anytime I go to the store. So,
well, I appreciate that.
What are the crowds like in the stores, you guys? Is it a lot of people, a little people?
Saturday at the Stop and Shop by me, and I'm in Poughkeepsie, they open at 6. They do seniors until 7:30. So I was there at 7:25. And I was like, all right, cool. Seniors are going to be heading out the door because, you know, they don't want the younger folks walking in on them. And I should be good. I walked in. The place was packed.
Oh, no.
How?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I was masked up. I was gloved up. I had my hoodie on. You know, I used the self-checkout. I brought my hand sanitizer with me. But
good.
Still,
okay,
I was surprised. And I was like, wow, these people are all thinking the same thoughts I'm thinking, hoping that they'll get here. And there's not a lot of people. And that ended up not being the case at all.
I've been only going to, I live in Beacon. I've just been going to Key Food, which is a smaller store. I feel safer there because I feel like there's less traffic. There's less people coming through there. So I'm paying up a little bit for stuff, but I organize my list. I used to use, I'll go back to at some point, like the Wunderlist app for my groceries,
I read a tip, which I agree with, is to make a paper list and throw it out. Don't keep handling the food you're picking up and go back to your phone. Picking up something off the shelf, go back to your phone. You know, you keep cross-touching stuff. So I transfer it to a paper list. I organize it the best I can, wear a mask. I'm in, and I'm out as fast as I can.
Yep, that was it with me. When I got home, I put all the stuff on the counter at the top of my stairs, and I grabbed a bottle of Lysol and gave everything a spray.
I did, too. Put it out on the table, wiped it down, either use sanitary wipes or Lysol spray. And then when John and I were having a discussion about her trying to peel an English cucumber, which she didn't need to, part of her reason was worried about germs. I am literally taking, like, oranges and bananas and tomatoes and put them in the sink and washing them in hand soap, antibacterial hand soap.
I don't blame you.
Hey, Steve,
you just don't know, you know? You just don't know. It spreads so easily and so quickly. They just don't know everything about it. Yeah, I mean, the day will come. We will know more. And you just got to do the best you can. And that's it.
Yeah, that's all we can do right now. So.
So speaking of doing the best you can, I don't even know if you planned that. Did you plan that? That was good. So, all right. I am really excited about today's guest because coming up after this break, we're going to be talking to Stephen Kotler. And I think that's how you pronounce his name. It could be Kotler. We'll find out. But Stephen Kotler is an expert in high performance, and he's the executive director of the Flow Research Collective. And I got to tell you guys, we'll talk more about this when he gets here, but I have watched a lot of his videos. He is going to, and what he does for a living is he trains people how to tap into the brain power that you already have to maximize anything you want to do and get yourself to peak performance. And this is really fascinating stuff. And I think this is a great time to have a guest like him on the air because we're all kind of hunkered down and we're going to want to bust a move when this quarantine is over.
So, or even now, if there's creative work people have been holding off and always wanted to do, and you got more time on your hands now, now is the time to do that.
I couldn't agree more. So when we come back after the break, we will have Stephen Kotler.
All right, that's what we've got on the way. You've got Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself, and we will be right back with segment number two. Stick with us.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci and myself. And we have gotten ourselves to segment number two, which, of course, is when we bring on our guest. And I know Jonna has been very excited to talk to this particular guy for the last couple of weeks, as a matter of fact.
Yes, I have been anxiously and nervously and excitedly awaiting this interview. So we have with us today Stephen Kotler. Now, let me tell you a little bit about him. He is a New York Times bestselling author and an award-winning journalist. He's also the executive director of the Flow Research Collective and one of the world's leading experts on high performance. I find this fascinating. His most recent work, Stealing Fire, was a national bestseller and nominated for a Pulitzer Prize.
Wow.
Yep. Stephen is an expert in how we can rethink to lead more satisfying, productive, and meaningful lives. And gang, I think right about we can all really use that information. So, Stephen, welcome to Happy Hour.
It's good to be with you guys, gals.
Now
these are all guys. It's okay.
It was really fun doing my research on you because you have a lot of material out there for free, that people can check you out and find you. And one of the things that really I just find fascinating is all your work on this concept known as flow, F-L-O-W. And so why don't we start there? Can you explain to our audience what the heck is flow?
Absolutely. It's a good place to start. So flow is it's a technical term. It's a scientific term, and we can talk about where it comes from later if you're curious. But it refers to an optimal state of consciousness where we feel our best and we perform our best. People may know it as runner's high or being in the zone. If you play basketball, it's being unconscious. Stand-up comics call it the forever box. The lingo is sort of endless. But it refers, and I'm sure all your listeners are going to be familiar with this experience, it refers to any of those moments of rapt attention and total absorption, where you get so focused on the task at hand that everything else just seems to disappear. So time will pass, and you won't even notice. Your sense of self, your sense of self-consciousness, that kind of nagging inner critic voice in your head tends to get really quiet or go away completely. And throughout, all aspects of performance, both mental and physical, sort of go through the roof.
See, and I think we can all probably relate that we've experienced that a time or two in our lives. And I got to tell you, like, that feeling is amazing. So is it possible, what can we do? Or is it possible to have that flow much more often, or does it get in our way? Like, how can we use flow to help us?
Let me back up for half a second before I answer that question, because I want to address something you just said, because it's a common misconception about flow, which is, you said it's very rare, and what is rare is what's known as macro flow. So flow is a spectrum of experiences. It's like any emotion, right? You've got anger. You can be a little irked. You can be homicidally murderous, but it's the same emotion, just with the volume turned way up, right? So flow works the same way. When psychologists define flow, they talk about six core characteristics, basically ways the state makes us feel. I listed some of them earlier. It's total concentration in the present moment, this kind of time dilation, which is time passing strangely, the vanishing of self, and so forth. So there's microflow, when maybe all six of those conditions show up, but they're dialed really down low. So this is, you sit down to write that quickie email, and you look up an hour later and you've written a full essay, right? And you didn't notice time passing. And maybe your sense of self didn't disappear completely, but you had to go to the bathroom the whole time and you didn't notice. And sort of you pop back in your head and you're like, oh, wow, right? We've all had that experience. So that's microflow. It's a low-grade flow state. There's, on the other end of the spectrum, is what you were referring to. It's macro flow. It's when all of these characteristics show up at once and it's turned up to 11. And that experience is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly powerful. In fact, researchers thought they were looking at mystical experiences, literally, until like the 1940s and 1950s, and when some research was done that kind of got rid of that notion. But it's a really profound experience. But what the research shows is that most of us spend about 5% of our work life in flow, often without noticing it. In fact, one of those common flow experiences, so there can be individual flow. This is you in a flow state or me in a flow state. And then there's all kinds of group flow. If you've been involved in a great brainstorming sessions where sort of ideas are flying off the wall, or seeing a fourth quarter comeback in football or baseball or basketball, that's often group flow. And there's something known as interpersonal flow, which is just two people talking. It's you're talking to your best friend and you get so lost in the conversation that an hour, 2 hours go by. And that kind of interpersonal flow, believe it or not, between middle managers is one of the most common flow experiences on earth. Flow is a lot more common than most people believe. They just don't realize it's a spectrum, and they don't notice they're in microflow, and nobody sort of explained that, hey, you can turn microflow into macroflow, etc. And the reason, to go back to your question, sorry for blabbing, but the reason the reason we care about flow is when we talk about what flow does to performance, it's a significant, significant shift. And it's worth understanding that flow is nothing more than really like getting our biology to work for us rather than against us. We are all built for flow. Anybody anywhere can get into flow. It's how evolution shaped humans to perform at their best. So it's in all of us. And the reason you want more flow is, and these are various studies done by lots of different groups of people, but for example, McKinsey, the business consultancy, found the top executives in flow report being 500% more motivated and productive. So we see a huge spike in motivation and productivity. In research done by the Department of Defense, they found soldiers in flow will learn 240% faster than normal. Some studies have pushed that all the way up to 500% faster than normal. Creativity. This is work done by my organization, the Flow Research Collective. Some was done at USC. Other work was done at the University of Sydney and a little bit at Harvard. Found creativity will spike from 400 to 700% in flow. We also see collaboration, cooperation, empathy, something known as environmental awareness. And these sound like a really wild assortment. They're actually, they're all sort of evolutionary shaped flow for us to kind of react to certain kinds of crises, mostly resource scarcity. And when resources are scarce, there are two options. You can fight other people over dwindling resources, or you can get innovative, get creative, get collaborative, and make new resources. So when you talk about all the stuff that flow optimizes, it seems like this really weird assortment, but it's actually very biological. It's all the stuff that we need to either fight or flee, or innovate, make, get creative, and cooperate, and make new resources.
Can I tell you something that, you know, we clearly are in very challenging, transitional, to say the least, times. But one of, and I'm always looking, you know, John accuses me of living in a bubble, Carol's big bubble world, you know. And I ride unicorns over rainbows and stuff. But one of the things I have appreciated, Stephen, in recent weeks is watching the increased access to our creativity. I'm watching people come up with things that they would never have.
Oh my God, I'm seeing so much of it as well. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite things going on.
Love it.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. And it's like we're tapping into these amazing resources we have, but our day-to-day living prior to this didn't so much allow for it. And now we're kind of forced to it, but I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm appreciating it so much.
I agree with you. And flow plays a very sort of important role in general, but especially in this kind of crisis for a number of different reasons. That's just sort of worth kind of poking at. So the first thing is a lot of us are having kind of hyper-vigilant, fear-based responses to what's going on. And that is it's problematic for health reasons, and it's problematic for creativity reasons. And so this is interesting.
Yep.
When we get really scared, the brain releases cortisol, stress hormone, and norepinephrine, which is just the kind of the brain's version of adrenaline, sometimes called noradrenaline too. And it does a lot of different things in the brain. Excitement, anxiety, hypervigilance is where it's really active. And so if you can't tear yourself away from the Crisis News Network, CNN, if you can't do that, if you can't rip yourself away, the reason is norepinephrine. And here's where it gets tricky. Too much norepinephrine blocks creativity. The more anxiety in our system, the brain wants to limit our options. So the extreme example, everybody knows this, fight or flight, right? Crisis situation, the brain says, no, I'm not going to give you all these options. You can flee, you can freeze, you can fight. Something similar happens with any kind of anxiety, especially vigilance. Too much norepinephrine, it makes us logical and linear. Psychologists talk about divergent and convergent thinking. Divergent is logical, it's when ideas come together. Or convergent is logical when ideas come together. Divergent is far-flung, you know, creativity, outside-the-box thinking. Too much norepinephrine can make us can sort of squelch our creativity. One of the things that happens when we move into flow is our stress hormones are flushed out of our system. And they're replaced by a bunch of kind of feel-good performance-enhancing neurochemistry. So flow can really help us reset the nervous system and, bonus, all the neurochemicals that show up during the state will boost the immune system. And this is not my work. This is Herb Benson's work. He's at Harvard. He's a colleague cardiologist. He did some early work on flow and how it interacts with the immune system. So you've got a peak performance tool that, you know, amplifies all kinds of stuff we want, but what it also does is it calms us down in crises and can boost the immune system and can help our resilience.
And now the million-dollar question, and I know you've written multiple books about this, and this is what you speak about. What are some of the ways people listening right now can say, okay, I need, for multiple reasons you just mentioned, I need to be in flow more often. What are some ways people can deliberately enter that state more often and stay there longer?
So there's two quick things I want to cover to answer that question. The first thing that's very useful for people to know is flow is not a binary state. It's not like a light switch. You're either in the zone or out of the zone. We used to believe that, but we now know that flow is a four-stage cycle. And you have to sort of move through each of the stages before you can re-enter flow. And so, you know, but once a month, somebody will come up to me and say, Stephen, oh my God, you should study me. I'm in flow all the time. And in the beginning, I used to sort of, I'd hear it and I'd sort of go, I don't know what to say here kind of thing. And after a couple of years of doing this work, 5-6 years, I just started telling the truth. And I was like, you know, we have a word for that. We call that schizophrenia. So you can't live in a flow state. There's no such thing as a permanent flow state. It doesn't work that way. And of the four stages of this flow cycle, some of them are really unflowy. Flow is essentially what happens after we learn a bunch of skills and we get so good at them that the brain can perform them automatically. And so flow is what happens after we learn all those skills and the brain can sort of snap them together all at once and execute the whole thing at an unconscious level. To first load those skills up on the front end of a flow state, there's a struggle phase. This is a loading phase. So this is when I'm trying to figure out what the hell my book is going to say, and I'm diagramming out possible plots and researching and taking notes, and I've got note cards taped up all over my office, and I'm in struggle. And it can last for a while. Sometimes it can also be very, very short. Even on the front end of a flow state, it doesn't ever go away. To get into flow, it appears that you have to trigger the fight response, even for a microsecond. So, like, this is the experience you've had where you're doing some work, and suddenly you realize, oh, my God, it's so much more challenging than I thought. And you sort of just lean into that challenge, and you dive into it and sort of get sucked in by the challenge. That's what happens at the front end of flow. So you're always going to have this moment of uncomfortability and frustration, and it's built in. Mm-hmm. So this is the first thing I like to tell people is you're going to be frustrated on your way into peak performance. It's literally, I always say, with peak performance, your emotions don't always mean what you think they mean. And I think this is really important for anybody who has kids, right? Kids get frustrated. They think it's a sign that they're going in the wrong direction. They should stop and not keep pushing, you know, that sort of stuff. And it turns out with flow, it's a sign that you're moving in the right direction. Second stage is what happens after you get fully frustrated. It's a release phase. This is when you have to sort of let go of the problem and turn it over to your subconscious. You've often heard sleep on a problem, right? You just basically want to learn a bunch of stuff and let your subconscious internalize it. And what we found is that there are various low-grade physical activities are the best for this. So the research shows things like long walks or building model airplanes or anything where you do gardening or anything where you're working lightly with your hands kind of thing. You can read. Television will not work here. It will actually block flow. If you read, it's sort of helpful to read like nonfiction rather than like if you're reading like mystery story thriller fiction that is that kind of thing that sucks you in completely. It's going to sort of block it also. Albert Einstein famously used to sail a boat into the middle of Lake Geneva for his release phase. He was very addicted to this, and the problem was Einstein couldn't swim, and he was a terrible sailor, so they kept having to rescue him from the middle of Lake Geneva.
Oh, my gosh, I never heard that.
True story. But he was so part of his creative process that he wouldn't stop doing it. And this is very similar. If you know anything about creativity, there's a creative cycle, and there's an incubation phase. This is sort of roughly the same thing. This is followed by the flow state itself. So you got to take your mind off the problem, and then you can sort of drop into flow. And we'll talk about how to do that a little bit better. And the last thing to know is on the back end of a flow state, there's a recovery phase. And this is really important for people to understand because most people, they get in the flow state, they get all this work done, it's really exciting, and they kind of come out of the flow state and want to like jump back in and dive right back in and keep pushing it. And you actually want to chill out for a little bit and give your body a little bit of time to recover. And we talk about active recovery here rather than passive recovery. So, again, television, a beer, is not that's not active recovery. Some light yoga, stretching, sauna.
Oh, you just ruined things for me, Stephen.
Sorry, guys. Television is actually really bad for all this stuff. It's because it's a complicated brainwave thing, but basically TV makes you feel like you're relaxing, but your brain, every time there's a quick cut on television, which is all of television, it triggers at an unconscious level a vigilance response. So anything, wow. There's a lot of motion and, right? So what happens if you watch some of these brain waves, alpha is relaxation. That's sort of your brain turned off. And beta is where we are. It's the brain. It's a faster moving wave. It's where we are right now. It's where you're awake, alert, paying attention. High beta is really anxious. So it's a little faster than beta. When we watch TV, the brain will hang out in alpha, but every time there's a quick cut, it jumps up to beta, makes you pay attention. It happens at an unconscious level. We don't notice it, but it's why, if you've ever watched a whole night of television trying to relax, you wake up the next day and you feel twice as exhausted, that's why.
Wow. That's me every morning. Stephen, I have a question for you, though, because listening to you, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like flow is something that can be conjured. Like you can get yourself there.
Yeah. So let me answer the second half of the question. So yes, you are totally right, and I say this to people all the time. So first of all, I'm about to talk about the flow triggers, things you can do to get more flow in your life. First thing you have to know is they're not sexy at all. Nothing about to change. I'm going to lay them out, and you're going to be like, no, really? That sounds underwhelming. Like, I don't believe you. And, okay, that's absolutely fine. I always say conduct the experiment. Run this stuff in your own life. Prove it to yourself. But the point is that, I said this earlier, everything we know about peak performance is mostly just getting your biology to work for you rather than against you. So this stuff is not sexy. And a lot of it is stuff that top performers will naturally do anyways because we're sort of designed to move in the direction of peak performance. So that said, flow states have triggers. These are preconditions that lead to more flow. And there are 22 of them. 12 of them are what will get me into flow alone or Karen into flow by herself, right? And then there are 10 group flow triggers that will get a whole group into flow. And what the first thing to know is the simplest. Flow follows focus. It only shows up when all of our attention is focused in the right here, right now, on the task at hand. So that's what all these triggers do. They drive attention into the present moment. If I were going to say it a little more formally and a little more with a little more science, I would say what we know right now is the triggers tend to do one of three things, so they can do two of three, and sometimes they can do three of three, which is they either drive two neurochemicals, norepinephrine and dopamine, into our system. And I mentioned norepinephrine earlier. Too much of it is anxiety. But a little of it is excitement, and it sort of grabs hold of your attention. I'm so interested in this thing, I can't stop paying attention. Curiosity is also underpinned a little bit by norepinephrine. Dopamine, you've probably heard of because it's a big feel-good reward drug, right? When your cell phone beeps because you've got a text message, that little high you get, that's dopamine. And dopamine's a focusing drug. So a really powerful focusing drug. So those two things happen, or these triggers will lower cognitive load, which is all the crap you're trying to think about at any one time. And if I lower your cognitive load a little bit, I liberate some more energy and you can use it to pay more attention to the present. So all that said, I would say the kind of the best place to start is with the obvious, which is complete concentration is a flow trigger. And what the research actually shows is if you want to maximize flow, unless you're a night owl and then you want to do this at night when you start your evening work session, you literally just want to start your day with 90 to 120 minutes of uninterrupted concentration. And you want to spend that time, and we can talk a little bit more about this, on your hardest, not really your hardest task, but your most important task, meaning the thing that you have to do during the day that if you get it done, it's the biggest win for your day. Mm-hmm. And I will say, before I go forward, that people who have very social jobs, managers, lawyers, we often get a lot of pushback from people who are like, no, I spend my whole day in conversation. I can't, like, 90 minutes of uninterrupted concentration. What are you talking about? And years of research have led us to believe that pretty much every manager we talk to, and when we really talk to peak performers, they start their day actually strategizing what their meetings are going to produce, thinking about all the conversations they're going to have. They use that time. Maybe it's not an hour and a half, 2 hours, but it's some uninterrupted period of concentration in the morning where they could focus on it. It's so simple, but it's so critical. And that also means, by the way, practice. We teach people to practice distraction management. So, for example, at the end of my workday, 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, whenever I'm done for the night, I shut off anything that is going to get in the way of my morning work session. So email gets turned off. Text alerts get turned off. Messages get turned off. Social media gets turned off. Anything that could disrupt my focus gets turned off. And when I wake up in the morning, I try to get from bed to desk as fast as possible. And normally, this is not something everybody can do, but we're stuck at home, and you can actually do this now, and you can actually run this experiment. You don't have to take my word for it. It sounds like a really strange thing. I'm saying start your day with 90-120 minutes without interrupting. Concentration is the most important thing you can do to get more flow in your life. But it will just that alone will produce such massive results for people. And we've seen this time and time again. Everybody can now run the experiment. We're sitting at home. And bonus, by the way, just I don't know if you know this or not, but when we are in crisis for a bunch of different neurobiological reasons, it is the perfect time to set up to create new habits. It's the easiest, one of the easiest times to learn new habits is when you're in crisis. So this is a phenomenal opportunity to train up your game. You can come out the other end of this thing much better than before. Obviously, there's a whole lot more going on with flow, and I can give you a lot of resources that you can give to your listeners, and we can go deeper. But I just wanted to start there because it's so potent and so powerful, and it doesn't sound like it's going to move the needle for most people, and yet it does again and again.
This is bad. I think I was in flow listening to you for the last 5 minutes. I swear to God. Because I just want to learn more. So this is what I would like to do, Stephen, only because we have to wrap up, even though I don't want to. But you just hit on something really crucial. We're all stuck at home. We have some extra time. You have a ton of stuff online, free and paid. And can we just go through the list so people can figure out, like, I know you have a Creative Live class, which I think would be a great place to start. And that's not free, but so what? It's also not very expensive either.
There's a Creative Live class. If you go to the flowresearchcollective.com, there's a tremendous amount of stuff for you. And the two things I want to point out is there's a flowresearchcollective.com/flowblocker. Is a free diagnostic that we've developed over the past few years that literally will just sort of help you analyze your life and figure out what is the thing that you're doing that's actually blocking flow the most and help you remove it. And anybody can have that. We've also been doing sort of free high-performance consults. If you go to zerotodangerous.com, you can sign up and get on the phone with a member of my staff and just literally talk about what's going on in your life and, some tips. There's a bunch of different classes, and we have a $1,000 course. It's a week-long distraction disruptor course, and it was coincidentally going to launch 3 weeks ago. We've been working on it for 6 months.
Wow.
Because of what it is, it's a 1 week, how do you work from home and really focus in kind of class. We dropped it to $95 for people. So that's available.
That's fantastic.
There's a ton of stuff. And if you go to flowresearchcollective.com, we've been doing live events 1 to 2 times a week with some of the world's top peak performance experts. Everybody who coaches for me is either a neuroscientist or a psychologist, some of the best in the world, and our team of researchers at the collective, all the other scientists we work with at USC and UCLA and Stanford, they've been getting on. And we're doing free events, peak performance in the time of pandemics,
awesome.
Every Wednesday or Thursday. We have one tomorrow night at Wednesday. On Wednesday, and you can sign up through the website.
That's
or through
fantastic.
Instagram. Yeah, so we're really just it's an important time, and so we're just trying to help everybody. Everybody's sort of stuck at home; nobody really knows what to do, and so we're just trying to share what we know.
Yeah, you're like a little disaster angel, and I really appreciate it. I really do. But this is such. I'm so glad that I found you, and thank you for all of these resources. And I encourage our listeners to check them all out because this is really fascinating stuff, and it can make us better people, and what better time to do it than when we don't, you know, we're stuck at home right now, and it's a great time. No excuses is what I'm trying to say. Stephen Kotler, you are the best. Thank you for coming on with us today, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future, I hope.
My pleasure. It was fun hanging out with you guys. You guys have a great afternoon.
Yep, Stephen, thank you so very much. It's Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we've got one more segment on the way, our third segment. It'll be a quickie this morning, but that is still to come, so hang with us. You're listening to K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And welcome back to Happy Hour one more time here on this Sunday morning with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Mary.
So, you know what? Eventually, our flow of that will get better.
Yeah, because we'll be in the same studio. I know.
Yeah. So
I realize we're out of time, but I got to tell you, Stephen Kotler is one of my favorite guests because he is just so full of information that I think is going to be incredibly helpful.
Yes.
Especially now. And I know that we don't have a lot of time, so I just want to remind folks, listen, a lot of this stuff is free. Some of this stuff is going to cost a few bucks, but you know what? Well worth the investment. You can find him at the Flow Research Collective.com. He also mentioned a website that was ZeroToDangerous.com, but I think if you just Google his name, Stephen Kotler with a K, K-O-T-L-E-R, and also you can find him at the Creative Live platform where he has a pretty inexpensive course, kind of like a Flow 101, and a great time. Look, you've got a little extra time. You're working from home, so you're really not working that much, and you can lie to your boss and say that you are, and instead go on Creative Live and listen to his course. So Stephen Kotler, he was great. And
yeah, he was really good.
We'll be back at this next week.
Yep, that we will. We've got Happy Hour coming your way again. We can, you know, as we've been doing for the last few weeks, we've been recording it over the phone, so we can certainly have another show coming your way next Sunday. So we would like for you to join us again like you did this morning. Now, if you missed what we talked about today, what Jonna was just saying about Stephen Kotler, well, you can go to k104online.com/happy hour, and eventually this show will be posted up there so you can take a listen to it, or take a first time listen to it if you're just tuning in now, to find out all about Flow and how it might help you get through what we're going through at the moment.
Yeah, and happy Easter to those who held. You know, it's going to be a different Easter for a lot of people because we can't go to church, but keep those prayers in your heart, and we will be back.
All right, that sounds good. It's Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. We'll be back again next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, like we always do here. And until then, please be safe.
Thanks so much for listening to Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. If you love this episode, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing.
And if you really loved it, we would love you back if you give us a review on iTunes.
Check us out on the web. You can join us there at netchicks.tv, as well as on Facebook as netchicks.tv. See you next time.